I'm Carol Nolte. I'll be trying to facilitate this conversation. I'd like to introduce three members of the panel. Ann Hubrig is on the staff here in the post office. I think you'll recognize the person that does that. Barry Shelley. And Barry, I've just met Barry because I've been in board meetings all week, and so I just now sort of got to know him a little bit. And Elmer Witt, whom you know. And I'm going to ask that each of them will give a kind of an opening statement about what it means to be single in a couple's world. And then we'll throw open the forum to you to ask questions, to raise issues. I would hope that there be both joys and problems that you want to talk about. And we will try to keep it very, very strict. Good time, and we will dismiss everyone at 10 o'clock or earlier if you're finished, and you can stay later if you're not finished, but there will be a time for you to be on your way if you wish to be. So I'll ask Ann if you would begin.
I'm 26 years old and I've been single all my life. Some aspects that I think are different for being single, I would say the biggest one is around choices and around decision making. Everyday choices like going out to eat or movies or going on a hike, what sessions to see or those kind of things, I think being single, I'm the only one who has to make them and I'm the only one affected by them. I see couples as having to check it out with each other, what's going to happen, how the day is going to go, and all that sort of stuff. I see that as a big one. The other one is kind of like life decisions or career decisions or where to live decisions. Again, being single, I feel like I'm the only one that has to live with those consequences. And people who are couples have to consider the other person, and if kids are involved, have to consider the kids. That's both good and bad. I feel in some ways like I have too many choices. I could do anything. I could go anywhere. I could do any job. I have good health. I don't have debts. I don't have kids. I don't have another person. My parents are in good health. I could just do anything. And that's hard in some respects because it doesn't narrow it down. I guess, kind of for the flip side for me, is some of the loneliest times I've had is thinking about what am I going to do next and feeling like I don't have anybody to do that with. And that's a real lonely time for me, and it's been hard thinking about leaving Holden, what am I going to do, and knowing I'm going to do it alone, and knowing I'm going to do it maybe not knowing anybody, depending on what I pick. So that, like I said, that's both good and bad. Another aspect that I see is real different is the sexuality aspect. I assume married people have sex. It doesn't mean married people don't have to struggle with their sexuality and don't have to struggle with how to express it. But as a single person, the big question is whether or not to have sex, yes or no. And I've had to deal with that. And there are other ways to express your sexuality and have had to struggle with those too. So I think that's a big difference. Connected with that is the struggle for intimacy. I want intimacy and I'm not going to be married right now, so what does that mean? And it's real connected with sexuality. In my mind, I see couples having more accessibility to intimacy because they are a couple. It doesn't mean it's easier, but I see that as more accessible, having someone you're married to. That's my perception. I would say on a faith level, I don't really see any differences between being single and being married. I see the choices you make about how to do that being different, but I think each person is called by God and following Jesus and all those sorts of things. I don't see any difference. Being a single woman, I've had to struggle with sexism. And as much as our society has made strides with that, it's still a sexist society. And I guess one of the main struggles I've had with that is, what is my identity without a man? Do I need a man for my identity? What is my place in society as a woman without a man? And I guess the biggest thing that, or the biggest growth that's come out of that is that I really feel a need for community. And Holden's been a real big part of that, and has, wherever I go next, I want to be a part of a community because I'm single. I think that would be different if I was married or in a family. So that's something I've discovered while being at Holden. And another thing that isn't an issue for me, but I would like to say, is the whole thing about your biological clock ticking as a woman. If I want kids, you know, at 26 I still have lots of time, but if I was 35, that would be an issue for me as a single woman. Three other things just to throw out. Being single is very important for me for developing my sense of identity and my independence. I would like to be married someday, but I'm glad I'm single now. I think it's really important. And if I do get married, I think this is an important time that will add to a marriage. In my family, I have a history of people who have married late or not married at all. So I don't have any family pressure to marry, which I think is different for other people. And the last thing I want to say is kind of interesting that they titled the forum this, "The only thing I feel uncomfortable doing as a single is eating out alone at a sit-down restaurant." I don't, you know, fast food's different. I've gone to movies alone, I've traveled alone, rented cars alone, and all those sorts of things I feel fine, but I don't like eating alone. So.
It's a reason for learning to cook.
Yeah, that's all.
Thank you, and I think, well, it's easiest just to go this way. Barry, you're next.
I was in a meeting about 2 weeks ago with some new staff, and one person who was probably about 21 said, "Well, one of the things I was really surprised at Holden is there are a lot of single people here who seem to be too old to be single." I suppose that I'm one of those people. I'm 34 and single. I've never been married either. And so I just sort of jotted down a few points that I'm just going to throw out and not go into great detail about any of them, and then maybe that will stimulate some thought on somebody's part that we can discuss further if you'd like. I do think that as you become older and single, that issues of singleness really do change. When you're 20, in the early 20s, it's very different. It's a single world. I don't think it really is a coupled world yet. When you're in your late 20s and moving into your 30s, then that's where the issue of living in a coupled world, I think, starts to really become more prominent. I came to Holden from Boston, and I have to say that I've never really felt the in my communities that I've been involved that much of being an outsider because I was a single person. And in fact, in Boston, I think the people that I would be connected with there were very often single, and there were also at the same time many couples, but there seemed to be a fairly comfortable flow among those groups. And in fact, if anything, sometimes I think the couples complained because after they were two people were coupled up or married, there was a sense that sometimes they were not as readily invited to functions or social gatherings because there was a sense they had somebody else. I don't think that was conscious, but so I don't feel oppressed as a single person, I guess is what I'm trying to say. However, at the same time, there are some things that are very subtle that I have felt. And while living in Boston in a very sort of active community of people that include a lot of singles was not a problem, very subtle messages came from my family. Unlike Anne's situation, I have two older brothers who were both married immediately out of college, I have a sister who's a year younger than I am, who's been married for 6 or 7 years. I do have a younger sister who's not yet married, but would desperately like to be. And she's pretty clear about that. And we can talk in more detail about this if you want to, but I mean, there are subtle ways that I used to, and I don't think it's quite like it used to be, feel when I got together with my family that there was not quite the same sense of maturity in the way that they saw me as there would have been with my brothers at the exact same age. In other words, when I was 27, I think that I was treated a little less, treated as though I was a little less mature than my brother who was 27 and who'd been married for 5 years, just in terms of the questions that were asked, the conversations, concerns, and also just about my parents visiting me. My parents did not come to visit me in my home. And I think there's a lot of things I could say about that. They did finally. And I think that made a major difference in our relationship and their understanding of me as being a single person. They were also here at Holden for a week about 3 weeks ago. And when they have seen me in my home, in my workplace, that has made an incredible difference in how they view and respect what I do and my sense of ministry, my lifestyle, those kind of things. I think my lifestyle has been a part of that too. It's not just being single. My lifestyle, even if I was married, would be different from my brothers and sisters. So that's another part of it. There are also things that I had to learn being a single person when I got together with my family. I used to get very frustrated because I felt like we could never finish a conversation, and I finally said something about that because we'd always jump from one thing to another and finally realized that it was true. We were always being interrupted by my nieces and nephews. And so the whole sort of reality of being the family really something that I had to learn as well. But I really do think that it's true. I mean, I see a 34-year-old man who's married as being older than I am. And the classic example of that is that Kent Burgess is a month younger than I am. I don't know who Kent Burgess is, the business administrator here. When he came here in January, I assumed that he was about 40 years old. Now, knowing Kent, it's very obvious that he's no more mature than I am. But and he doesn't even look that older. Really, but there was an assumption. He's married and he has 3 kids. So, I don't know if he's not here, is he?
Better not be.
Okay. A few other quick things. I think that in your job, especially if you're involved in a job when you're 30 or older, there's a sense that you have more time, that you have less responsibilities outside of your job, so therefore you're more flexible. And it's true, I might have less responsibility in terms of families, but that does not mean that I have not made other commitments in other ways. I also did a lot of work as a youth minister and in youth work. There were all sorts of fears, very subtly, just from few people, but occasionally that I had to deal with as a single male working with 15, 16, 17-year-olds, primarily, of course, the females. And one not surprising thing is that being 34 and a single male is that I often, the assumption is often made that I'm gay. And I can honestly say that assumption really doesn't bother me anymore, except that it really denies who I am, because I'm not. I know there was Dale Schneidmiller, who was a gay man who spent part of the winter and spring here, used to say that he really wanted to come out a lot more open to this community, just primarily because if everyone assumed that he was straight, that sort of denied who he was. And I think that's sort of the same way I feel about that. I don't get that upset about it. And just to end, I just want to say at the same time, I think there's some real gifts and real advantages to being single. I think, first of all, I just mentioned, I think sometimes married people are not as immediately invited into certain kinds of social situations. I've never felt excluded, really, in a social situation that much. I think that might be harder outside of a large city. So I think there's a lot of flexibility, like Anne's talked about, in terms of your life experiences, and I've been able to do a lot of things from living overseas to doing a lot of different kinds of work that I didn't have to worry about income as much, so I could take jobs at lower incomes. I could be more flexible in my work. That I wouldn't say was impossible with being married, but I think it would be more difficult. I think that being single through for 15 years of being of adulthood, has really allowed me, in a way that a lot of married people cannot, to explore different kinds of relationships. I think that I've been very blessed to have many of my very closest friends are women, not women that I have been involved with in an intimate way. And I don't think, again, that's in no way to say that married people don't have that, but I think it's more difficult. That's an assumption. Somebody may very much disagree with that. And finally, I think there's a sense of community. I mean, I've lived by myself only a few years in that whole period. I've lived in fairly intentional cooperative houses and with other people, always mixed gender, always with men and women. And Holden is another part of that. The last thing I would say, and I'm not quite sure where to go with this, but it's sort of the issue of being a man in 1980 who has been very affected by the women's movement. I consider myself to be a feminist in the sense that men can be, and still at the same time being somebody who spent 20 years of my life growing up as a very much a red-blooded American male. I mean, I was a real jock in high school and really involved in a lot of that all the sort of stereotypes. And so it's a matter then of how you struggle with that. And I think that's true for men, whether they're married or single. But I do think that somehow or another being single really does make a difference when you start thinking about how you do relate to, I mean, especially for me, how I relate to women when I'm just meeting them and as friendships develop and what kind of relationships grow out of that. So I will end there and
thank
see where
you.
We go.
Elmer.
Thank you. In 3 weeks I'll be 65, but I'm new to the singles world. A little over three years and 5 months. After being married 35 and a half years and 5 children, being single is the pits. Not for anybody else, but certainly for me. It's mostly missing what, quote, you have. It was one of those imperfect marriages, the only kind you can have. And it was marvelous. And of course, it's really tough being without Ginny. I don't feel put upon in the singles world because of the background. Loads of friends, both single and married, over the years, and I sense that they're still open to having me around, inviting me to be around, and all of that, so that part of it isn't bad. It's really missing the depth of intimacy and indeed love that one can become accustomed to. I do miss Ginny because of my spiritual journey. It's one of the closest things that we shared together. She reshaped me in all kinds of ways, and I'm sure I influenced her, and I miss that. I agree with what at least Anne was implying. I think church is not very good at both espousing, developing, affirming intimacy. I think it talks about partnerships and other kinds of things, but when it gets to that's why I think we're still struggling so much with sexuality as well, sex and sexuality, because of our failure to understand what intimacy is about. looking for a new relationship at Holden Village isn't very bright. If not impossible, especially for someone who's older, especially for someone who incidentally happens to be director of the village as well. So it, that's a tough part of my life. I notice it when the couples are together at the village and they all go home to at least sit and talk, and that hurts. I noticed it at the board meeting the other day when some of us are single on the board, but a lot of them, most of them are married, and that was achy to listen to them all. The husbands introduced the wives into the husband, and I missed my dear wife during that whole time. I think it's made me understand a lot of stuff that I couldn't forget. I'd lived in an intentional community for a good number of years. We called it our family. And so I had experienced a lot of that, but certainly not in the way that I'm experiencing community now. And that's been a learning. And some of the empathy for people who have been single longer than I, or in different ways than I, whether by choice or whether by whatever, or by, you know, by death or by divorce, I think I've been a little more sensitive to what's happening in their lives, and I'm grateful for that. I think any new sensitivity just adds to all of our being, and I'm really grateful for that. I hope not to be single long. Oh, and it's tough to what we used to call date. The strange thing is, I know I haven't got anything that I've become stubborn about in my life, but everybody I meet has. But I think it's fun. I think the idea of meeting new people and finding out things about new people in a way that includes way off somewhere some possibility of a relationship, that's been an intriguing kind of a thing, and I'm really pleased about that. But ground rules, if any, I don't know if there ever were any ground rules or whether there are not, but you know, they've all seemingly disappeared, and it's pretty much, excuse the expression, a no person's land, huh? Don't know where to go, where to put your foot down, your hand up, or whatever else it may be. And that's sort of a precarious world. I don't, not so much in the sense of what's somebody going to think, but just not knowing what to do. That's been a good kind of a relearning experience for me. Well, that's it.
Thank you. We'd like to open it up now for your questions, comments. You can direct questions to our panel, or you can raise some issues that you'd like to talk about. But what's your pleasure? Anne.
Oh, I can't believe how good natured y'all are. I don't you have any anger or frustration with this whole thing? I'm so pissed off and tired of being lonely. Really, I'm angry at the whole thing now. I'm tired of it. Definitely don't have any patience with Christian singles group telling me I'll fulfill that idea as single individual and all that.
You should have been down here.
I'm frustrated with it. The worst thing that happened to me in my life this year, I'll just share, is the fact that the third of my five siblings got married and moved into my apartment building with all her wedding gifts and her bliss. And they're all younger than me, and I really couldn't take it. And she lived there in her apartment building, fixing up things in her microwave for a year. Thank God she finally bought a house and moved out. And I don't care. I'm going to be 35 in September. And it's just a little difficult to contain my anger once in a while. How I feel really, really cheated. And I'm tired of keeping up a good front about it, and, you know, looking cheerfully toward the future.
Whom are you angry with?
Well, mostly God, I guess. Or, you know, God, whatever.
Was God single?
I'm just kind of tired of seeing chin up about it all the time, and I'm pretty frustrated with it.
Okay.
I wonder if you guys are really so rosy as it sounds.
I'm not lonely, I can tell you that. So I'm not frustrated about that at all.
For me, to answer it kind of seriously, some of the loneliest times I've had is when I've been with men. So I can't say, I know that's not going to be the answer to the end of my loneliness. The other thing is, I could have gotten married about 4 years ago and I chose not to. So I'm still kind of in a time frame where being single is sort of a choice. I think that will change. Maybe when I'm 35, I'll be pissed off too that nothing's happened. But right now, my time frame is still kind of choice.
I have to say something too. Yeah. I don't think this is denial, but I think I'm at a stage in my life where I probably am much more open to the possibilities of marriage than I say was 5 years ago. I've never been somebody to say I'll never get married. I've never said that, and I think I've always sort of been at a point where at any age, since I was 25 or 26, I probably would have considered it. I don't really want to get into a lot of personal details about my history of relationships, but I think I can honestly say that I've been very fortunate to have lived in places where I really felt a sense of community, and I think that does not replace a marriage relationship. I don't think that's true. I think that that's a different, or any kind of really long-term intimate relationship. But I don't think that I don't feel desperate as though I have to get married to have my life fulfilled.
That's a really bad word, desperate.
Well, I just use it for myself, Ann. I'm sorry.
You don't want to be desperate. Uh-huh.
Well, no, I guess I feel that way. I think there are different aspects to the life and relationship than I can. I think it. Now, I hope this isn't going to say. I do think that in this culture, it's easier for a man to be single than it is for a woman to be 35.
Yeah.
And so I'm quite willing to.
Or a man to be single longer.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's true.
I'd be interested in just, I don't know whether you want to do this or not, but a show of hands, how many of you have been married and are now either widows or widowers or divorced? So you've experienced both lifestyles, if you will, maybe several different lifestyles. I've heard a couple of things about advantages of being single. And from the panelists particularly, one of them was the sort of freedom to travel. I'd like to see how many of you have traveled more than just a little vacation, have traveled fairly extensively. And then on the problem side, how many of you just hate to eat alone in a restaurant? That's for everybody. I wonder if, and then one of the other things that I just sort of clear the air about those.
Can I say something about that?
Yeah.
I actually like eating alone.
In a restaurant?
And I think part of that is because I used to have a job where I traveled a lot, and so I would have to eat by myself, and I would always have something to read, and it's the most, some of the most relaxing times I have, because I don't have to talk to anybody. You know, especially after living in Holden, it is great to go. Great to go out, and I love the meal time, but it is really nice to go into a restaurant by myself and just order and eat and take as long as I want to. So
yeah,
I want to say something about that too. It's not really any different, but I try to always have a book with me.
That's
because
true.
Sometimes I'm just so confident I can go anywhere. Other days it's like I feel like I wear a sign that says, I'm single, I'm alone, I don't, you know, and so if I have a book, then that's my,
I feel like
I can make
it.
So,
yeah.
And then I like it.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, that's good. No, that's
a good
great
idea.
Okay. So how do you deal with being alone when you would normally be with somebody?
Well, if I'm in a restaurant, I just read a book, and then it doesn't bother me, you know, and then sometimes I don't have to read.
Does anybody ever ask to sit with you? Is that a problem?
That's happened before, but not.
Or is it a nice problem, or?
Well, if I don't think it's going to be nice, I mean, if I want, I'd say yes or no. Sometimes when people say it's a great thing. Yeah, other times it is, you know.
Right, right. Well, how do some of you cope with those situations where you would normally be with somebody, but you're by yourself? I mean, can you, like, sitting in the church pew by yourself, or what?
I hate it.
Any?
I think I try not to do that as much as possible. If I know I'm going someplace, like to church, I'll try and go with a friend or meet a friend there, or because I hate it too. I feel very lonely, and then I start looking inward and feeling sorry for myself. So I just say, just don't go. Invite a friend, you know, do something.
Mm-hmm. I go early and hang around the narthex and find couples or people my parents age that I can glom onto and go in and sit with them. It's getting worse with age. I mean, this winter I even went home.
How many of you go to concerts by yourself? Yeah. Or movies? How about movies? I'd like to, Paul, you're here. Tell. I mean, we have to share our secret, a secret about vacation. See, both Paul and I are single. And where there are a lot of married couples that have together lives but separate vacations, Paul and I have separate lives and together vacations. It's wonderful.
What, how many years ago?
I don't know, it's been a long time. How old were you when you first were here?
I want to go so I know what to buy you on our next anniversary.
How do you cope with vacations? Sure, I mean, what kind of problems do you have? You're here. Is this your vacation?
Well, going to a place with an academic setting usually, and then people, I've lent towards the academic, and that's always very spiritually fulfilling. A lot of times they have the same goals or interests, and it's adults. And sometimes they're married, but they're without the spouse. For the spouse could be really a lot of fun, too. It doesn't really matter as much. So that's one way, vacations. I don't know, I could go lie on a beach for a weekend or 4 or 5 days, but I think that'd get pretty much of a drive.
You said academic vacation, in other words.
Yeah, like a tour group or studying, something with a focus, to be in a community with a focus.
Is it important to have a focus so that you have an automatic way of relating to the other people with you?
Yeah,
or is that
yeah.
It? So that what happens to intimacy there is, I mean,
well,
by that I don't necessarily mean sex.
It's easier to form it, you're on the way of forming it. Instead of meeting a bunch of strange people in a hotel lobby, you meet them in a class or a tour site, and you know that you have common interests, so you work from there.
Okay.
Over there.
Paul.
Hi. Vacation, that's for me, is and one of the ways I react is I tend not to go a lot of new places without someone. I think without that intimacy, I tend to go to places that I know people, either family or friends, and places that I've been to before, this place being one of them, but maybe even back to places I've lived in the past. And I don't go, trekking off to new countries or new places, and because it's safer.
Yes.
In contrast to what he is saying, for me, sometimes being single has been sort of a lonely thing. But for me, the excitement for me comes in going to a place where there are a lot of new people, where there is a chance where you can meet a friend or get a new friendship. And so instead of going to some place where there are a lot of people that I know, going someplace where it's just me starting out fresh again is helpful.
It's interesting that tonight's Vespers was about friends and friendship, and I think that's a key question to singles is what about your friendships? How do you establish some friendships so you have a support system. Anybody want to talk about that? How do you fulfill that? Yeah, Anne.
One thing that would be nice in the society is if friends were given the same stature as other people's spouses. If you could bring a friend to an event where most other people are bringing spouses, and I do this sometimes just in sort of rebellion, will bring a good woman friend along with me and just tough it out. In a situation where generally it's spouses by invitation or whatever, especially related to my business. But it would really be nice in other social situations if you could bring a friend who you're just associated with, that people know we're friends. And not have these implications of lesbianism or any of that junk. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, single people who are friends, given the same respect in the culture as married people who are spouses. Yeah.
And Anne is on the board as well, and the board always has a party one of the nights of the board meeting, and she was the one that broke that tradition right away brought somebody else to the party because she was single. I thought it was wonderful. So
I say something. Some of it might be my age, being younger than Barry Ann, it's like it's okay to have friends, and it's okay, I've been a Holden a year, it's okay for me to build friendships here, and I can be really good friends with Barry. But it's not okay for me to move where Barry is, unless we're in a relationship. It's not okay for me to follow him somewhere, for him to follow me. It's like you can have friends where you are, but you don't. Whereas if it was a spouse, you would move with that person mm-hmm. to a new place. And so I find that really hard. It's not okay for me to follow one of my friends somewhere, really. Mm-hmm. They would think I was weird. Why are you doing this?
Well, it's not okay, you mean for general in society, the culture says it's not okay?
Mm-hmm.
But like, of course, you have to agree with your friend that it's okay.
But I still think that most of my friends would think that was really strange and would kind of wonder why. And maybe for 2 years, you know,
yeah.
I can move to California with somebody for 2 years, but not much longer than, you know, it's just not acceptable, that kind of framework of being with people and keeping your supports with you. It's fine where you are, but once you leave, I feel like I leave alone, and I'm expected to leave alone, unless I'm going to be married or whatever.
So what we're saying to you is make up your mind, you know, either get married or, you know, we're not giving you any alternative.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just not our right to decide if two friends that meet, say two friends that meet here at the village,
yeah,
it's not our right just to decide that let's go out and establish an apartment together, or even live close to each other and so that we have a support system. Yeah, I think that's really...
It is too, all right.
Yeah, I think it's all right, too.
I haven't found it to be all right.
So yeah.
Tell me about it being all right for you.
I've done it 3 times, and all 3 times it was, friends, let's go together to graduate school, let's go together to Chicago to find jobs and write our thesis, let's go together to take a job, because we love each other and have fun together. There was never a feeling
that
wasn't
open.
It certainly made moving around easier.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is that? I wonder if that's something that age has something to do with.
I think it might have something to do with communities in which. You know, I was just getting ready to say before you even said that that I think that that I've had that same experience. And I mean, the last time was simply. The building that I was living in was getting ready to be torn down. I had to find a place to live, and a close woman friend of mine had just bought a house, and I moved in with her. This is not somebody that I have any kind of sexual or intimate relationship with, but a very, very close friend. And most of the people, I think there were very few assumptions about what our relationship was. Everybody knew what our relationship was, and it was fine. But that was in a particular community in Boston that I don't think you would find in a lot of other places. It probably would be truer in Chicago or so. I think it really does. There are places that are much more.
Moorhead, Minnesota, to do it.
What's that?
Minnesota, Minnesota.
I'm not saying you can't do it. I think that it is easier in certain places. I think some places are simply more provincial. And I think that, I mean, the church that I was very involved in Boston is a very young church. There are a lot of single people there. It's certainly not all singles, and it's not a singles church. But there was not, I didn't have any problems walking in and sitting by myself. I always sat with people that I knew because there were plenty of people that were there. So I feel very fortunate to have had that, and I've always felt like I've had those kinds of support systems, and I could do those kinds of things without a lot of the pressures or assumptions that other people might have felt in other places. Mm-hmm. But I do, I guess what I would say though is I do think that if people take a few risks in those directions, I really do think you can find a support system in most places. And I think very often people assume the worst and don't take the risk to really move towards finding those kinds of places where there is support and there is community, and finding alternatives to what is the traditional way of doing things. And that's often what doesn't happen. God, I remember the first time I moved in with two females, my parents just, this is when I was 22. But now, they completely accept that. They really do.
How many of you have a better support system at work than, say, at church? And how many of you have large amounts of single adults at church? I think that's right. My church is almost entirely single adults in range of age, everywhere from 90 down to, you know, maybe high school. But I only have two families in church, so it's really weird. they're all single adults. Yeah. It's a tiny church, but I mean, they're all single adults. Most of them are widows, but it's very funny to hear all the church coming out about family, 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 and they just sit there stoically, and you know, there aren't very many families there. So it's interesting to see that. I have a feeling that the church still assumes that there's families, but most in the churches are in fact singles, at least my experience. What else do you want to talk about? We've got maybe 10 minutes more. Do you want to ask some questions about support systems or intimacy or what? Yeah.
Sexuality. How do people deal with the fact that we're all sexual beings, but tradition says you wait until after marriage?
Who says that we wait?
I have something to add to that, which is just for me, as I'm 21, so it's not unusual to be single at all, and yet still the fact that I'm not out ready and looking for a husband, a lot of people accuse me of not having any sexual drive or not having, you know, as being really different from everyone else.
Well, I hate to think what I would think about somebody who's 34 then.
My own experience is I've tried different ways of expressing it, and I'm still struggling with that. I'm still trying to find what's good and appropriate for me. One thing that I found is dancing is a wonderful way for me to express my sexuality. And I've made some mistakes. I've made some mistakes that I regret doing with my sexuality. So I don't know how you, I don't have an answer for how you do that in a way that, I guess everyone makes mistakes anyway, but.
Earl Rauner is a pastor of a congregational church in Minneapolis. He's just written a little book on, I can't remember the title now, on sexuality. But he argues that intercourse is the sign of the marriage commitment and relationship. So, intercourse should be reserved for marriage.
Is he single or married?
He's married, but wait a minute. Mm-hmm.
That's the only line he draws. And I think that's, in some ways, very liberating. He says, intercourse is an act that is meant to represent the marriage commitment. And one has total freedom beyond, or just up to the point of intercourse.
To be clear, any other genital sex activity is okay. Is that what you're saying?
That's the inference. And in fact, normal. Not promiscuously, I mean, not.
No.
But that's what he's saying. Yeah. He's saying people are sexual beings, they're active sexually, and what he asks is that they reserve intercourse for marriage as the God-given sign for the intimacy of marriage. And,
did he mean anal intercourse, oral intercourse?
That's a good question, but he doesn't get into that. But the point of his book is that intercourse is for marriage because it uniquely represents the marriage commitment. Other kinds of sexuality and sexual experience he considers to be natural and normal, and he feels that we ought not to be saying no.
Elmer's written a book too. Are you going to write another book? Are there other? It seems to me that there's a lot of different definitions of intimacy. Anne alluded to that, and Anne even talked about intimacy, sexuality as being expressed in dancing. But it seems to me that a lot of writers, especially somebody as familiar to the village as Matthew Fox, talks about intimacy as being a much broader category than just sexual expression. Or maybe sexual expression itself being a whole broad spectrum of things other than intercourse.
About sexual expression being?
How do you express intimacy? How do you establish any kind of intimacy with friends of either sex, of other ages, perhaps even than your peer group? How do you do that? Do you have that kind of support system, and is it satisfying?
I think that's one of the advantages of being single, for me anyway, is that there's more time for intimate relationships and more intimate relationships than my friends who are married. I can use that time. Different ways from, I have real structured time with one of my friends, where we just talk about our goals, encourage each other on certain goals, to just learning to be real open with people about, you know, what's going on in my life and where I wanted to go, and making sure that I spend time developing and
How much time do you give to it? I mean, yeah.
Say at least an hour a day.
So you work on some relationships, and feel that kind of support.
Yeah, I work on establishing it and making sure that we have contacts during the week, because I need it.
Ginny and I in our marriage did that in addition to our relationship, and that was one of the delights of it. So that's what also why I didn't feel cut off from relationships, both with women and men. And
right,
mine was at least that much of an hour.
Some marriages are cut off.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, indeed. I surely know that, right.
I think one thing that's kind of hard is as you get older and are less and less surrounded by other single people, which we share your interests and your lifestyle, it becomes more and more difficult to meet new people that you really feel like, I really like you and I want to get to know you. It's like that, I don't know what you call it, chemistry between another person that, yes, I want to spend some time with this person. It's like, I don't really want to bother if it, that sounds horrible, but you know, I meet people sometimes and I think, this person is nice, I'll have fun doing things with them, but I'm not going to I don't see a future as far as being real intimate, and I have several really good friends, like Terry and I go back to 5 years old or so. And I think we both live in the fear, like, all right, who's going to get married first and leave me behind? And I, you know, I see now, I've been fortunate to grow with several single women friends, but they're scattered. They're not in my hometown. I have an outrageous phone bill, which I don't mind, but it frustrates me that I've lived in this place, and my close friends are all other places. I feel real lucky to have those friends, but you kind of watch them one by one get married, and it scares me. It's like, you know, nobody wants to be the last one. And it does become increasingly difficult to make new friends, because how can you duplicate a friendship that goes so far back?
I found that in times when I have someone living near me that I'm intimate with, or when I am in a fairly intimate, or that's really intimate, meaning that we're vulnerable with each other, that we really share important things, that we pray together sometimes, depends on the type of community, then I forget to worry about the marriage thing most of the time. You know, I just, it doesn't bother me, but I have had a problem too with people leaving, and my really close friends, and I've been really lucky too, have been both married and single, and sometimes I have just loved the relationships that I've had with married people and with their kids. And that's been really neat, because I, you know, probably a lot of you know that when you don't have your own children, it's hard, but also it's really neat because you can spend really neat time with other people's kids.
And then walk away.
Well, yeah.
It's changing.
It's real hard when people leave, and when a lot of people move at one time, then
thanks.
I think something that's been alluded to by a lot of people here is the way that other people kind of relate to you. And it seems to me that a lot of people are kind of confused as to what they should do when they talk to me or when they're with me. Some people aren't. Some people can support you. They don't have any problem with your singleness, but especially people where I work, I'm a teacher, and people at my school, especially, I don't want to stereotype, but especially the 40 to 50 year old women who have maybe teenage or 20 year old sons or daughters of their own who are kind of moving into that period of time, they worry about me, and they've got all these friends that they know, and they've got all these nieces, and I get depends on how they deal with that. Someone can be real nice and say, you know, I guess I would just as soon meet someone that was kind of screened somehow, instead of I would never feel real comfortable just going to like a single bar and meeting someone. So it's nicer to have those people introduced to you, but some of these people can get a little bit.
They hover.
Oh, by the way, I met so and so, and she's so nice. And yet, there are some people that even don't even know what to say to you. It's almost like you don't exist because you don't have a spouse, and everybody's that's going to be there at some gathering or something does, and then they don't even. I mean, they don't just invite you without yours, but they don't even invite you. And that gets hard. Mm-hmm. And I guess I wouldn't want to go if they didn't want me there, but it's too bad that you get excluded because of that. Okay. So I just noticed a real interesting way that people relate differently.
Do you sometimes feel like they pin you almost?
Like they what?
Like they pin you sometimes because you're single? I mean, is that
what? Yeah, kind of.
Because I remember going through that with my family when in a period of 2 years, my mother got married and two of my sisters got married. And I wasn't dating anyone, even when I was single, and I was fine with that. But they were all so worried about me. It's like, oh, Kirsten's alone. It was all this pity, and I just hated it. You know, it was like, because I was single, and it didn't bother me, but it seemed to bother me.
They get uncomfortable there. Some people just get uncomfortable. Like, gosh, you really you've got to get married. Why? And that bothers me a little bit. It's pushing, and that's hard.
Paul?
I thought something Ann said earlier, I'd sure like to get back to it and hear other people's comments. There definitely was some anger, and I think at times it's justified about when Ann said about the church programs and what's going on in the churches about singles. Is that only a program? I'd like to hear other people's comments. I don't know.
How many of you go to a singles group at church? Let's see the hands again. Yeah. What do they do that's good, or why don't the rest of you go? You don't have one.
The one in the town I'm living in is a marriage market. Yeah. And I don't belong to that kind of organization. I just, that's my choice. I would just set myself up that way.
Ann, you're in Minneapolis where there's a lot of big singles groups. You hate them, huh?
No, I haven't been to any of them.
Yeah.
My church started a singles group, and I was the first three or four meetings. But actually, mostly the people involved were younger, and I didn't have any. I'd seem kind of pointless. I don't know. And also, I don't really believe in pigeonholing people. You know, the singles here, the young couples here, the golden couples, and etc. I'd much rather be in. It's because we were like, my understanding of community is formulated at Holden, where it's multi-generational, and I'm interested in being with a lot of people of all different ages. I don't really want to sit around with a lot of other single people and either try to make ourselves feel good about our situation or grump about how miserable we are. And neither one is particularly constructive. So what I look for in my congregation is a family feeling work. But what I want is to be valued as much as the yucky couples that are coming in with their children in the Sunday school and boosting up that lower level where they have many kids in Sunday school for a while. Most people get so much value and so happy to have them there.
Yeah.
You know, and us prodigals' brothers have been around for a while and they're still single, just don't have the same value.
Yeah,
I wonder about what the motivation, I guess for me, one of the things I struggle is, what's the motivation of having a program? You know, is it, where's the church on nurturing human individuals in the congregation? Instead of, well, they're single, let's have a program for them. You know,
and what's the content of the program?
What's the content of the program? It's, it's an organized way to go out for bowling or to eat or to meet other people, meat market, with, you know, those kind of things. That, instead of, you know, talking about where the church and where God and Christ come together in being single, and you know, and what that means. And for some people that means it's okay. For some people it's a real struggle about wanting to stay single or wanting to get married or wanting to get in a relationship or dealing with what it means to be intimate. I guess that's why I really get sort of, it's such a golden opportunity, and I guess I feel bad, and I'm probably guilty because I don't take the bull by the horns, is that seems to be the setting where we can learn about intimacy. Because we're talking about the intimate relationship with God, and we can't do it with ourselves.
Yeah.
The church seems to just, for me, blow it by, and I don't get involved and help it either.
It is now 10 o'clock, and you've had some opportunity to be in conversation. I'd like to thank our three panelists. Thank all of you for coming. If you'd like to stick around, and maybe we'd have a more intimate conversation over there in the corner, you're welcome to do that, or you can be excused now if you'd like to leave.